Friends, join with me in prayer. Lord God, as we gather today in this season of Epiphany, this time of revelation, a time in which you seek to show yourself to us, we invite you once again to reveal yourself in a remarkable way, to open our eyes to see you, to open our hearts to welcome you, to open our lives to respond to you. Let your word speak to the depths of our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's admit it, we've all been there at one time or another. We've asked God to move heaven and earth over something rather trivial, at least maybe to others, but certainly important to us. Oh, Lord, please let that light stay green. I'm already late. I'll never get there. Or, please, God, please help me to get this stubborn cap off this bottle. Please, please, God, let my team win. Now, I may be wrong, but I suspect all of us have at one time or another made some kind of requests of God that we hope would help us through an inconvenience or would fix a problem we're having. And because this is a likely experience for many of us, I know that we can appreciate our gospel lesson for this morning. Our Lord Jesus is making his first public appearance in this story today following his baptism. It's interesting to note that Jesus, as well as his disciples, have been invited to be guests at a wedding. Now, weddings were always times of great joy and celebration for the people of Jesus' day because it broke up the monotony of the humdrum, laboring routine of their lives. Because this wedding was taking place in a small village called Cana, there's little doubt that anyone who was someone was there. Just about the time that everyone was beginning to enjoy themselves, it becomes obvious, though, that the supply of wine is about to run out. Now, in Jesus' day, you need to know that running out of wine at a wedding was not just some kind of mild social faux pas. It was considered absolutely offensive to your gift-bearing guests. They had been welcomed to this great celebration, and now you're running out of wine? You're not able to honor your hospitality to us? This became such a big deal sometimes that there are actual records in Jesus' day of people being sued for running out of wine. Imagine. So when Mary, the mother of Jesus, seeks out our Lord and announces, "They have no wine," it feels like she's desperately saying to our Lord, "Fix this and do it quick." Friends, I wonder sometimes if this isn't how we hear today's gospel. I wonder if this is exactly how we expect Jesus to act in our lives. We encounter a problem in life that concerns us and needs fixing. So we come to Jesus and hope that he'll just snap his fingers and voila, it's done. Somehow, we hold on to the hope that our Lord will provide the quick fix so that you and I can get on with our lives just as they were before. But I can't help, in light of that attitude, ask this discerning question of myself and perhaps of you. Is this really enough for us? Is this all that we really want in life? Just a quick fix and then it's back to business as usual. I suspect that for many of us, at some point in our lives, we would like Jesus to just conjure up some great magic. We want him to show up, wave his divine wand all over everything, make everything all good again. But you know as well as I, this is not who Jesus is. And it's certainly not what this story is about today. Looking only for magic or a magical solution spares us from who God really is, truly perceiving God's power unfolding. It keeps us from learning what can become new, possible, unforeseen in our lives. Sure, magic will entertain for a time, but it doesn't transform us. It doesn't change us at the deep spiritual heart level. A magical reading of today's gospel just leaves us wondering, rather skeptically perhaps, oh, come on, did that really happen? What's Jesus going to do next for his trick? Today's gospel invites you and me to move away from such magic-based thinking so that we can begin asking questions that are truly behind every miracle story. Namely, what possibilities does this story raise up for my life? This is why Mary's blatant observation has been ringing in my ears all week long. They've run out of wine. They've run out. How many of us have run out of what really brings life to us? Clearly, Mary had a special role in today's story. Whether she was acting in a protective way to preserve the couple from public embarrassment, we'll never know. But what is clearly obvious today is that Mary has a resolve to involve Jesus in the predicament. They have no wine, she states with candor. But what's really interesting is how confidently then Mary places complete trust in Jesus, instructing the servants as she whisks along her way, do whatever he tells you. Did Mary specify how Jesus was to solve the dilemma? Not at all. Nor does she declare any expectations of Jesus. All that is made clear is that Mary trusts that her son will take the most appropriate course of action. In fact, Mary is so certain of Jesus, she leaves the scene completely, peaceably tending to all the errands of being a good hostess, and appears no more in the story. Friends, Mary's actions today in relation to Jesus hold before all of us, I think, something that can truly be instructive to our hearts. Namely, to ask ourselves, when I find my life in need, my heart in need, my spirit in need, where do I turn for help? To whom do I turn? Is it just to myself? Or do I really look to God? I suspect that 9 times out of 10, you and I'd rather push matters through based only on our own efforts, our own hard work, thank you very much, rather than to entrust matters to God, no matter what that situation may be. Truly, friends, do we live our lives as if we believed God is God for all matters? Or do we ask God only to do our bidding when it's convenient, treating him kind of like a servant, a magic man, if you will, rather than truly as Lord of every situation? And isn't this what living faith is really about? By definition, living in faith means leaning into the nature of who God is, believing that God is worthy of our trust, and that his wills, his will, his ways, his timing is perfect for each and every situation. Yes, Mary teaches us something, to involve Jesus, but not for the quick fix or the easy solve. We involve Jesus in order to bring our will and our ways into line with God's will, God's ways. Recently, I stumbled across this story that dates back years ago. It's an event that took place on The Tonight Show when it was hosted by Johnny Carson. I know some of you are old enough to remember that. Johnny Carson was interviewing an 8-year-old boy. This young lad was asked to appear on the show because he had helped rescue two of his schoolmates who had become trapped in a coal mine just outside his hometown in West Virginia. As Johnny was getting acquainted with the boy and asking those typical questions of getting to know him, it became apparent to Johnny, as well as to the audience that night, that this young man was truly a person who claimed his faith. So Johnny asked him if he attended Sunday school, and the boy said proudly, yes, he did. And then Johnny inquired, well, what have you been learning in Sunday school? Well, said the boy, last week our lesson was about when Jesus went to a wedding and turned water into wine. And of course, the entire audience erupted in raucous laughter. But Johnny tried to keep a straight face, and then he said, and what did you learn from that story? And then the boy kind of squirmed in his chair a bit because it was clear that he hadn't given a whole lot of thought to the matter. But then he lifted up his face and he looked right at Johnny and confidently said, if you're going to have a wedding, make sure you invite Jesus. Well, friends, I think that little man was on to something, and it's more about inviting Jesus to a wedding. It's also about inviting Jesus into everything. And how many times, as simple as this sounds, how many times do we take that to heart? No matter how trivial the matter may be, no matter how grand or overwhelming it may be, do we invite Jesus into the midst of it? Mary, the mother of our Lord, is a model for this. She doesn't set out any expectations. She doesn't tell Jesus what to do. She simply names the reality that she's wrestling with. And she lets that reality serve as an opportunity for Jesus to respond. Mary holds open the door for something to happen, the door to a new possibility, a new perspective, a new solution. And friends, I couldn't help but think, isn't that truly what we are asked to do when we pray? When we pray, we're simply holding open the door of our hearts, inviting Jesus to become that intimate partner in the journey that we are making, believing that our Lord will do what needs to be done in us and through us in that most perfect of ways. And all we need do is get out of the way. May it be so.